May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Taking you behind the scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville. 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
At least according to the shot counter. Here's Nyquist, he scores! Gus Nyquist skating down the right side before he got to the top of the right circle, pulls it in over the shoulder of Hellebuck, and it's 1-0 Nashville. Cole Smith banks it off the right board, brought in by Roman Josi. Josi into the slot, then the score! Kiefer Sherwood drills one from the slot, skating in from the left side, and the Predators take a 2-0 lead. And the puck deflected out to center by Kyle Connor. In on goal. Back out to Forsberg. He scores! They took the puck off the end board. Gave it to Philip Forsberg coming down the left side. He scores and the Predators extend their lead to 3-0 early here in the third period. Puck tipped back for Sissons. His shot knocked the stick out of the defender, and then the Predators get the rebound down low, and Zucker has his first Predators goal. It's 4-0. And that's going to do it. Back of the net, Winnipeg Jets, and the Predators have come up with a huge win here tonight. 4-2 over the Winnipeg Jets.
Welcome into Preds Insiders right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. My name is Nick Kieser, and I'm going to be riding solo here this evening here with you. Robbie Stanley out this evening, but I'm going to take over. I'm the captain now, as they say. And so let's dive into this game that we saw in Winnipeg. The Nashville Predators took down the Jets 4-2 on Wednesday night. A weird night for hockey, but I'll take it. Wednesday night is a great night for hockey. Any night is as well. So the Nashville Predators are now still in first place of the wild card spot right now for going into the postseason, one season removed of missing the playoffs. So the Nashville Predators are looking really good right now. They are the hottest team in the NHL by no stretch of the imagination whatsoever. So the Nashville Predators are 11-0-2 in their last 13 games. And not to brag, but I was in St. Louis when the Predators started their winning ways. So what can we make of all of these different games? There's a few doozies for sure. Those two overtime losses were weird games. Nonetheless, the Predators are focused on their wins as well. So the Nashville Predators, like I said, just played in Winnipeg on Saturday. They'll take on the Seattle Kraken. The Preds are 3-5 against them overall. But here on the program this evening, I'm going to walk you through what I saw from last night's game up in Winnipeg. But also, coming up in our second segment, I'll have Max Herz as our guest to kind of catch up with him, what he has seen from the Predators this season, but also what he makes of Jason Zucker and Anthony Beauvillier being added to the roster as well. And he also kind of teases what he's going to have on the Preds official podcast here later this week. So stay tuned for that right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. So lots of Predators coverage here for certain. And so I want to start off, like I said, about the game on Wednesday night. And I want to talk about one guy in particular that has been tearing it up this season. Forward Gus Nyquist. By golly, this guy has been one of the most underrated NHL players this season. He's on the cusp of 60 points. He already has the most with a single team in his entire career with the Nashville Predators at 58. He had 60 not that far back. He was a rental for the San Jose Sharks. He was traded from the not the New Jersey Devils. My goodness, I'm getting confused with all the trade deadline news here as of late. He was dealt from the Detroit Red Wings to the San Jose Sharks for 2 draft picks. And so those draft picks ended up turning into Albert Johansson. He's a defenseman for the Grand Rapids Griffins right now. So he's a prospect down there in the pipeline for the Red Wings. And also, he was traded for a 3rd rounder back in 2020 who ended up being Damon Hunt. And so Damon Hunt plays for the AHL Iowa Wild right now. So that trade's looking good, but better for the Nashville Predators because Gus Nyquist had 2 apples in that game over the Jets. And so the reason I'm bringing up Gus Nyquist, yes, I wrote a story on thegamenashville.com earlier this season talking about his skate blades, but he's been utilizing every bit of his skill and every other part of his hockey skills this season with the Predators, and it's really been at its very best. Gus Nyquist has played 60 consecutive games with Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg, also a Swedish guy on that line. So I'm very happy with what they have put out there on the ice this season. And that goes to show ever since October 28th, the Predators have tried to carry a very consistent lineup. And Andrew Burnett's kind of talked about just how much tenacity that he has seen from his group, but also the relentlessness as well. And, you know, that was on his hat that I saw on Bally Sports on Wednesday night. He's wearing a new one that I've not seen before where it says relentless on it. And so that's the theme of these Nashville Predators, but also with Nyquist as well. I've been really impressed with just how he's a sneaky good player. He weaves in and out of the offensive zone. He finds passes, and he also uses the glass with the reflection on it quite a bit to find guys like Philip Forsberg open right in the slot for a gimme goal against Connor Hellebuck. And so I think overall, with Nashville looking at the veterans available from free agency in the offseason, when they saw Gus Nyquist, they already knew what they would be getting. I certainly was not on the same page whatsoever. That's why I'm not in management, obviously. But the Nashville Predators saw him as a great veteran piece to build around. And boy, were they right. I mean, he's been phenomenal this year. He's created tons of high danger chances and all across the offensive zone as well. But you heard all that offense there in the open for the Preds Insiders show this evening. But I played those mainly because I've been very impressed with how much scoring this team has done. And Gus, yes, has contributed to that total as well. One thing that really stands out to me about Gus as well, he goes under the radar so much. It's not even funny how much he goes under the radar. With the 2 assists last night, by the way, he has 18 points in his last 14 games, which leads the Nashville Predators. And he's just on an absolute tear, like I said. So it's been very impressive to see how much offense he's been able to pour out being 34 years old. And here's another stat that I shared on X last night as the Predators saw him continue to just pour it on. So Gus Nyquist is the 4th ever Preds player 34 years or older to score at least 55 points in a season. I'll kind of talk about that a little bit later as well with Max, just to kind of bring that up. But he's the first since Mike Ribeiro did so. He scored 62 points back in the 14-15 season while Nashville was using Ribeiro as a veteran, much like Nyquist, to kind of, you know, get this group going, get them started. What can they be excited about in the future? And so the Predators did move on to be a more exciting team. Ryan Johansson kind of took over the reins once Ribeiro fell out of the Nashville Predators organization. And so, look, the other guys that have done this, that have accomplished this feat, 55-plus points in a season being 34 years or older. Like I said, Mike Ribeiro, Yannick Perreault was another one. You also have Cliff Ronning as another one. Cliff Ronning actually did it twice. Back in the 99-2000 season, Ronning had 62 points. He also had 62 points in the 2000 and 2001 campaign as well. So very impressive nonetheless for Gus Nyquist to step up as an older veteran here in the Nashville Predators lineup, but it's been very impressive to see him go on a tear with his line mates and Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg. Philip Forsberg is on a career season as well. He's playing like it. You know, it's not anything that we've seen before. We've seen it a couple of times with Phil, but I think to this magnitude where he's gelling this well with his line mates, I have not seen really. I think it's fair to say he was doing that with Ryan Johansson a little bit as well. But I think even at times with when Victor Arvidsson was here, we saw flashes of greatness between both of them. And also when Matt Duchesne was still here in Nashville, he was doing just as well, if not better at times. But this has really impressed me. It's been my favorite line to see Forsberg play with. But Ryan O'Reilly, a new face as well. Kind of have talked to him about what those two guys have offered. And really, all three of them, the consensus is really that they just know where each other are going to be out there on the ice. And so as the Predators continue their point streak, which is at, by the way, 13 games now, it's insane that they've even gone on for that long of a point streak. And we've not seen them do this in quite some time, by the way. And it's impressive to see that this was a team that started the season 5-10, 5-10 back in October and early part of November. But it's very cool to see this team turn it around the way that they have. And I'm going to be really honest as well, and I want to talk about this a little bit later, I believe, but Andrew Brunette needs to be getting some love for the Jack Adams. He has really turned this team around in just the one season that he has been around. So I've been very pleased with the way that he's been open with us as media members, but also with just the way he sees the ice from a coach's perspective. Former player, over 1,000 games for him. It's been very cool to talk to him and get to know him this year for sure, even on some of a personal level as well. He's been a great guy to have around these Nashville Predators. But coming up next here on Preds Insiders, like I said, Max Hirsch will be our special guest here on the program, and looking forward to hearing what he has to say about the newcomers on the Nashville Predators, but more importantly, what he has seen from them so far this season, and even a little bit conversational talk about the Quebecois, Alex Carrier and Jeremy Lauzon. So stay tuned for that. You're listening to Preds Insiders right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Welcome back into Preds Insiders here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Joining us now for our second segment of tonight's edition of Preds Insiders, riding solo, Nick Kieser here with you. We're going to bring in our special guest, Max Hirsch, who's taught me quite a bit ever since I joined 102.5 The Game, from being a highlight producer all the way up until me giving him sometimes useless information, but not all the time. But always glad to have him on the show. So, Max, let's start things off here. First off, glad to have you. I know that you're going to go over to the SEC tournament a little bit here at Bridgestone Arena, but let's talk about the games that we've seen here lately with these Nashville Predators. What's really impressed you the most about some of these new guys? I know that you talked to Jason Zucker for the Preds official podcast here coming up, but kind of talk to me about what you've noticed about the new guys here in their first few games. Anything stand out to you?
Yeah, I think they made two really low-risk buys is the way I've been describing how the deadline went for the Preds. The biggest move they made was the sell move to send Yakov Trenin to the Avs. You get a third-round pick for that. You can deal two later picks for two guys who you think might fit. And they've been impactful. We saw it with Zucker's goal last night. Bevilier doesn't get an assist on that goal, but he was involved in the rush, never touched the puck. But Colton Sissons led it. He had both of the new wingers with him in their third game with the team. And great goal for Zucker. That's how he's going to score him. He's going to go to the hard areas. He's going to get a good pass. He's going to change the shooting angle on Connor Hellebuck, who I think left his jockstrap in the crease the way last night went, mostly thanks to Gus Nyquist, but that Zucker goal was good as well. So just getting involved, and their peak is not going to happen until presumably the playoffs in terms of how well they understand the system, chemistry with their line mates, things like that. And Zucker said earlier this week when the team briefly returned to Nashville for a practice in between road games, he said that he hopes to have the system down within a couple weeks, and he wants to be at his best final couple weeks of the regular season into the playoffs, which is a month from now. So you got to remember, it takes a little bit of time for these guys. They're not going to healthy scratch them if, say, Bevilier doesn't score a goal for another week. Like, that's not going to happen. They gave up an asset for them, and they're going to let them figure it out because it's players they believe in. Bevilier has history with Trotz. That's why he's here. Zucker has history with Brunette. I think they would have gone after him no matter what, but that helps.
Yeah, and the odd man out right now is Cody Glass. So I'm curious to see how all of this shakes out for him as well, Max. And maybe there's an opportunity. Andrew Brunette said that there will be down the stretch here. So very interested to see how all of that will go, but very impressed with Jason's tattoos myself. The first time I introduced myself to him, he was talking to me about where he got all of them throughout his life. And I noticed that he had a few roses on there. And so I just asked what those meant. And he told me very quickly and very thoroughly that these were about his family. It was about his kids. It was about the most important people in his life. So I'm not sure how much you guys talked about him being tattooed or anything like that, but I can always appreciate good tattoos. Don't have very many yet. I want to get some, but I thought that was an interesting part about Jason Zucker. So stay tuned for what he has to say on the Preds official podcast here on 102.5 The Game. So Max, going back to the start of the season.
Can I talk about that, Nick, or no?
Go ahead. Yeah, I think it would be great.
I didn't ask him about it for the podcast. We're going to talk about it in the segment. Kara and I will, and that episode will be out tomorrow.
Nice.
Tomorrow, right? Yeah, today's Thursday. That'll be out tomorrow.
Yes.
I did a lot of prep work for the interview, and I was really impressed with a lot of things that are related to the tattoos. I had obviously watched Zucker play a ton. I'm originally from Pittsburgh, so I followed his 3 years with the Penguins and knew that he was a valuable player there and an extremely well-liked player. But I also knew that his wife had a very public Twitter account and that she used to work in sports media in Minnesota. And that's part of the reason why she tweets so much about him. And she has very funny tweets. Her name is Carly Applin, A-P-L-I-N, if any Preds fans want to follow her on Twitter. But Jason Zucker was, in the interviews I listened to, extremely open about his family life, his personal life, his charity work. The tattoos are a big part of that. He has a tattoo on his wrist that has been written about pretty heavily, honoring a young fan who died of bone cancer when he was in Minnesota, as part of his major charity work with the Children's Hospital at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis that he did in partnership with former Vikings tight end Kyle Rudolph. So he has one tattoo honoring Tucker, who is a very important person to him and his family. He has a lot of other ones that were written about. He also has one in Hebrew because he is Jewish, and I'm also Jewish. So we're happy to have a Jewish player on the Preds. So now I have someone to give kippahs to on Hanukkah night next season, other than Hal Gill and Chris Mason, and force them to pretend with me. So a lot of cool stuff that I learned about Jason Zucker. You mentioned his kids as well. He's married. He has three kids, but the oldest of the three kids is his wife's from a previous relationship. And he spoke in a podcast I was listening to about what being a stepfather means to him and how being a stepfather before he was a father was such an important thing to him and how he views his stepdaughter as a daughter. And I know there's so many people in the world who feel that way and have incredible relationships with step parents or step kids. And I just think it's very powerful to hear a professional athlete talk about it so willingly and voluntarily, because I think people, fans, like they're in families that have divorces or remarriages or deaths in the family or whatever it is. And they see these professional athletes and they're married and they have beautiful spouses and beautiful kids. And they think like, oh, those people have like the most by the book nuclear family of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's not always that way. So I really appreciate Jason talking about that. And I didn't ask him about all those things during the interview because I have a lot of quotes from other places that we'll be playing in the podcast as well. And I hate to have him repeat himself when he's already given such great answers elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But the one thing I did ask him about his family is whether or not they will be coming to Nashville with him for the hopefully multiple months that the rest of the season goes. And he said, no, they're going to stay in Arizona, which is a new place for them. This was his only season on the Coyotes. He signed a 1-year deal. So they're going to hang in Arizona for the rest of the school year. His oldest daughter is, I think, in middle school. And then the two younger kids are, I think, 6 and 4. So they're in maybe first grade or kindergarten. But I think there's a chance, Nick, that if he performs well, the Preds would offer him a deal similar to what Gus Nyquist has right now to stick around, and I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He sounds like someone that would be a Nashville player through and through, just based on what you were sharing there. That's a lot of info. I know that you've got a lot of deep dive things, much like I do at times, but that's all really good stuff. And I want to transition over to something that we've kind of been seeing this unfold the entire season. I never would have thought back in October that this team would have such a good first line. And Gus Nyquist showed again the other night while playing against the Jets why he was such a good get this offseason. We all know that Ryan O'Reilly, you know, Luke Shen, those guys were added to be really good voices in the locker room, right? But I think that for Gus, he's on a tear, man. This will be the most points that he's had with a single team in a season now with those two apples the other night. And just playing against the Jets, it was an amazing feat for him. And the way that he just looked behind and saw Phil right there to score a goal, that was an amazing play. But what's it been like to see him just be at his best at 34 years old, which, by the way, he's the fourth Pred to score at least 55-plus points in a season. So he joins Cliff Ronning, Yannick Perreault, and I believe he also joins another familiar face that I'm trying to think
Ribeiro.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Local guy, Mike Ribeiro. So, but what do you make about Gus Nyquist to his season? I mean, he's been unreal, I think.
Why is Mike Ribeiro local?
Because he lives here, Max.
Oh, does he?
Yes, he does.
In Texas.
Quite active on Facebook.
I am not the world's foremost Mike Ribeiro expert, but Nyquist has been brilliant, for lack of a better word. And I always use swift and brilliant to describe Gus Nyquist on the radio, because those were the words in the play-by-play call of the 2016 Kentucky Derby when the horse named after him by a Red Wings fan horse trainer won the Kentucky Derby. And I just think it's so fitting because the man has been an absolute thoroughbred this season. He's a stud, and he's just like the horse. He's a stud. And he has been so valuable to the Preds. Last night was 60 games in a row. The top line has been the same. Nyquist, Forsberg, and O'Reilly, 60 games in a row. They've played together as the top line. And coming off a season last year when players like Juuso Parsonen were getting called up and going straight onto the top line because they couldn't get the big dogs going, that stability is absolutely invaluable, regardless of the production for the players. And the production has been off the charts. Forsberg is better than a point per game. As you said, Nyquist is 2 points away from a career high, and that was split in a season where he was traded from the Red Wings to the Sharks. So I like the way you put that. 58 points is the most he's ever had for one team in one season, and we still got 15 games left here. But, man, last night was beautiful. Two rushes that he led, one off a great stretch pass by Josi. He had Forsberg crashing backdoor. He sold the pass, went shot, short side shelf, high glove on Connor Hellebuck. And Hellebuck was expecting the pass based on how he reacted. So that was brilliant. And then on the pass off, oh my God, the dump in the air by McDonough. Brendan Dillon punches it up in the air, had no idea what to do. Nyquist pounces on it. There's nobody between him and the goalie. Everybody's puck watching. The goalie's puck watching. The two defensemen are puck watching. Forsberg is in the area. I doubt Forsberg is calling for a pass there because Nyquist has a breakaway. It started in tight, but he had a breakaway. So Phil is not, I mean, he's not going to demand the puck there by any means, but Nyquist uses the eyes on the back of his head and goes between the legs, backhand drop to set up a one-timer for the best shooter on the team. And it worked to perfection. Hellebuck was beyond confused. I think he had to change jocks 3 times in the game. That's just an estimation. But it is insane how good Nyquist is. And I guess the reason he doesn't get the love is because he's never been on the top line of a team that made a deep playoff run.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Wings only got out of the first round once when he was there in normal playoffs. I'm not counting the COVID playoffs. But then when he was on the Sharks as a rental in 2019, they won 2 series. But, I mean, I don't think anybody around the league thinks of him as a Shark. Not he played well there, but nobody saw this coming around the league. I had not watched him enough to expect him to be this great. And Ryan O'Reilly is the stable force in the middle of it all, and it's the perfect top line for the Preds.
Max Herz is with us here from Preds Radio, does a fantastic job, and he fills in for Pete Weber and does a more phenomenal job, in my opinion. But Max, let's talk about the Quebecois for just a second, because you and I have covered them at nauseum this year, I feel like, at times. And so they were just your guests over at Smashville Live, over at Brew House, and loved listening to that interview, especially the fact that Jeremy had quite a big crowd there. His brother was on spring break and had a big rouse of people there for him. But could just kind of talk about what you've noticed from that defensive pairing. I think they're one of the most underrated D pairings in the entire NHL. And by the way, Jeremy Lazan last night set a new single season record of hits by a Nashville Predator. He's now at 321 hits this season. He's quite a bit away from the record. I believe it's held by Matt Martin with 382 is what the record is. But Max, what do you make about that D pairing? The Quebecois, which you've dubbed it the entire season, but it's been fun to see them play.
He's 70-something away from Martin. Is that what it was?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, that's not unreasonable to get 3 or 4 per game in the last 15 games, actually, right? That could happen.
He needs 62 hits, actually. My bad.
Oh, okay. So it's 380-something.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very reasonable. Yeah, that was cool to see that he passed Tanner Jeannot 2 seasons ago for the hits record. And like I said with Nyquist, he's still got 15 games left. So records falling in mid-March is when you know things are going well. And I've always enjoyed covering Jeremy Lauzon. And it's been a little bit over 2 years exactly since the Preds got him from the Seattle Kraken at the trade deadline 2 years ago. It took him a little bit to get going here, but he had also changed teams 3 times in less than a year at that point, because he was on the Bruins, where he was homegrown. Then he was exposed in the, the expansion draft to the Kraken. Kraken took him. He played 2/3 of the first season for Seattle. They were not good that year. Not a fun time to be on that team. It became fun last year and not fun again this year, but suffice to say, he was looking for some stability, and he got it, because after those first couple months with the Preds at the end of the season 2 years ago, he signed a very team-friendly 4-year deal to stick around, and it was a smart move by David Poile in retrospect, because everything they saw in Lauzon has come out in the Andrew Brunette system. He kills plays, he makes big hits, he fights when he needs to, or when the fights find him, as he says, and he's just always in the middle of stuff. He's been an incredibly valuable player. In my opinion, he has been the sixth most valuable skater on the Predators this season. And the 6 most valuable skaters, in my estimation, are the guys who have played in every game. And Lauzon is one of them. It's the 3 top liners, then Colton Sissons, Roman Josi, and Jeremy Lauzon are the 2 defensemen who've played in every game. And I think it's a pretty easy argument that those have been the 6 most valuable Pred skaters this season. McDonough would be the only one who I would maybe put over Lauzon, but I think since Lauzon has improved so much, you can make that argument pretty easily. And part of the reason he's improved is because of the partnership with Carrier. Those guys had been on the team together for the last year and a half, but they hadn't really been together as D partners other than a one-off or two. And they literally speak the same language. They speak French to each other on the ice, and they're best friends, and they've been so good this year. They complement each other so well. They both fit the system. They're both having career seasons in every way. And Barry Trotz said at the deadline, and this is one of the many things Barry Trotz has said this year that I strongly agree with, that choosing to keep Carrier, they made that choice rather than trade him away because they thought the asset they would get in return was not worth the disruption of team chemistry that trading Carrier away would cause. And most of that chemistry related stuff is how good he is with Lauzon.
Yeah. Well, it's been really good to see that payoff for them this season. It's been fun to see that development for sure. Alex Carrier, another guy that came through Milwaukee, drafted by the Nashville Predators, and slowly rose above the noise throughout his entire career. He was tearing it up in the QMJHL, as was Jeremy Lauzon. Now they're on the blue line together. So, Max, glad to have you here on the Preds Insider Show. And, Look, man, it's going to be a fun rest of the season looking at the rest that's left and lots of exciting games. Two more against the Jets. If you didn't think that game was exciting the other night, I don't know what you were missing, but they're going to have two more games against each other. So lots to cover, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun stretch run here. Looking forward to some home games. Glad the team came back in between Minnesota and Winnipeg so we could at least go do some interviews at a practice. But it's only been, what, a week since the last home game? But
right.
It feels like it's been a month. So looking forward to being back home next week. Some big home games the rest of the way. Red Wings, Bruins, Blues, Jets. So it's going to be a fun stretch run here. Preds have put themselves in an amazing position. If the NHL hadn't changed the playoff format, the Preds would be sixth in the West right now and 1 point behind the Oilers for fifth in the West. Sadly, all the teams that they would be passing are in the other division. So the format that everyone hates, right? Like, it's been 10 years, but I feel like everyone hates this format. It's not doing the Preds any favors right now, but they just keep on winning and nothing else matters.
No, certainly not. Well, the Preds are in the first wild card spot as of Thursday with 80 points. Max put it in a much different way that I tend to agree with as well. Vegas, who the Predators are right above, has 77 points, and they have two games in hand over Nashville as of right now. The Predators will go to Seattle on Saturday. The Preds are 3-5 overall against the Kraken, so we'll see how that one pans out. But coming up next year on Preds Insiders, I'll take a deeper look at what it means that Spencer Stastny is here. Will he be out of the lineup himself? You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in the Preds Insiders right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Big thanks to Max Hirsch for hopping on here with us this evening to kind of catch up about what he has seen from these Nashville Predators this season. Also, quite the deep dive into a guy like Jason Zucker, who the Predators just acquired from the Arizona Coyotes for a late-round draft pick. So, the Nashville Predators just played in Winnipeg on Wednesday evening, and so they'll continue their road trip into Saturday against the Seattle Kraken, where the Preds are 3-5 in their time, in their history, against the Kraken in their early history. So, how will the Predators look on Saturday night? That's a really big question for me right now, because we just saw Dante Fabbro get announced that he is going to miss the next 2 to 3 weeks before the Predators went to Winnipeg on Tuesday for that trip. So, Dante Fabbro going to miss a little bit of time with an upper body injury, but also, in lieu of that, the Predators called up defenseman Spencer Stastny, one of their four recalls of this season now that's left. And so the Predators have three remaining. And so with that, what are they going to do now that Spencer Stastny perhaps could miss some time? We don't know for certain yet while I'm speaking with you here on our airwaves this evening if Spencer's going to miss any time himself. But he only had three shifts in the third period against the Winnipeg Jets. Looked like he kind of had a shoulder issue maybe, but I guess we'll have to find out for ourselves here in just a little bit of time to see if he's going to miss any significant time with the Predators just after coming up from the Milwaukee Admirals. And so the Admirals themselves were on a tear. We kind of talked to Spencer about what his season has been like once practice concluded the other day. So I'm excited to see what he's able to bring to the lineup. I really think it's very underrated how much of a good player he really is when he gets called upon. I mean, when he was in Milwaukee, he was tearing it up. He's been playing all over the place with those guys. And to my understanding, when they were on their big, long stretch, Spencer said that was the longest winning streak he had ever had, going back to his youth days as well. I don't think any of those guys had seen 19 consecutive wins in their lives up until that point in their careers. And so that was very cool to see him talk about that, what that did for him. It really energized him. But more importantly, it energized those prospects that are down there, guys like Fedor Svechkov, Reed Schaefer, Zach LaRue. I mean, even Yaroslav Askarov. They even had a giveaway night not that long ago where Askarov was bench pressing the goal crease. So that was pretty cool. Or excuse me, he was bench pressing the net itself, not the goal crease. That's underneath the ice. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, they're having fun up there in Milwaukee. And so I'll be able to take one of those games in here soon, next week, actually. So next weekend, I'll be going up there to see what things are like with the Admirals and just take in that series against the Henderson Silver Knights. And so, look, I think with Spencer Stastny, he's bringing speed and skill to the lineup, and he knows that this is another opportunity for him to stake his claim here at the NHL level. And so while it's not established, I believe, just hearing from what the coaching staff has had to say about Spencer, that they would like him to stick around. And so I think it makes it a little bit more difficult because Tyson Barrie is around for sure. But also, he's playing over Tyson Barrie. So I think my main question is, will the Predators end up going to a Tyson Barrie to play on Saturday just to play it safe? Because you don't want to exhaust those three call-ups that are left. And so you have to be careful with how you want to go about things here for the remainder of the regular season, but also going into the postseason. So the Predators are on the cusp of making the playoffs, and they missed it last season. They had made it for 8 consecutive seasons before last year. So got to start that streak up again if you are the Nashville Predators. But I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit of the fourth line as well, because they have highlighted what the Predators are through and through during their winning ways since February 17th up there in St. Louis. I know I've gone back and said St. Louis so much, but that's when all of this really started. So I was kind of confused that afternoon taking in that game and seeing that Jankowski had been placed on a different line. And really, since then, it's paid off. You have Cole Smith, Michael McCarron, and Kiefer Sherwood playing on that bottom line. And so they have really done a phenomenal job. And not that long ago, just last weekend, actually, Kiefer Sherwood went back to Ohio and played against the Blue Jackets. And it was his first time scoring a goal in Ohio as an NHLer. What a cool moment for him. And I wrote a story about him earlier this year on thegamenashville.com. Go check it out. Kind of talked about his journey all the way from his prep days in Ohio all the way up until he made it full-time with the Nashville Predators. So very cool to see that he has come up the way that he has. Also, Michael McCarron got a deal earlier this year, so he's going to stick around with the Nashville Predators as well. He's been such an integral part of the center depth here in the Nashville Predators organization. He's a big body, big sexy is what they call him. He's getting in the fights. He's always protecting his teammates. He has that big brother mentality, as Andrew Burnett put it the day that they announced that they had re-signed him to a new contract. And so I'm very curious to see what kind of role he plays for years to come. How involved will he be with kind of establishing the culture? But also, Cole Smith has been a huge part of that fourth line as well. And so those three gentlemen have played 13 consecutive games in a row, by the way. So aside from the top line playing 60 games in a row since October 28th, these Nashville Predators have seen a very consistent fourth line, who at times, in my opinion, look like they are the best line during those games. And so I'm very interested, like I have said, to see how some of these things pan out. But also, too, one guy that's being left out right now is Cody Glass, and so I don't know when and if he's going to get another chance. I mean, he probably will. I just don't know when he'll get another opportunity to possibly play with the Predators moving forward. They've got a couple of big games. Maybe he gets in Saturday. I could see him playing maybe over an Anthony Beauvillier. I don't think the Predators would shake up that fourth line whatsoever. Maybe you take out, I don't think you would take out Jankowski, but you possibly could. You just signed him to a 2-year extension if you're the Nashville Predators. I'm not sure if you really want to do that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how these games will shake out down the stretch. Like I said, they take on the Kraken on Saturday night over there in Climate Pledge Arena. Very interesting arena, by the way, kind of underground. And so I want to travel at some point. That's one of the arenas that I would love to go to, just to kind of check it out. I've had some friends go check it out. And if you are a traveling Predators fan, and if you're going, let me know how it is on Saturday. It looks like a very fun place to go. So tweet at me at Keezer Nick. I would love to hear what the atmosphere is like in a new building in Climate Pledge Arena up there in Seattle. But coming up next year on Preds Insiders, we're going to close things out and look ahead at what is going on in the NHL. What's ahead for these Nashville Predators? You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.
Well, I think it's just something that we, you know, I think preached all season long. That we want to be relentless on the pucks, relentless on the way we play, relentless on the tracking back, relentless on the work ethic, relentless when we're down a game, relentless when we're up a game. So I think the word sort of, we built our identity a little bit around the word without even thinking about it. It was just a word. But I think it caught my eye the more, you know, I watched and seeing Mike McCarron and Cole Smith. I mean, those guys and Kiefer Sherwood, they are relentless in the way they play. If you look at Phil, you know, Factor, Gus, they're relentless. Now you're looking at Novi and Bench and Janko, they're relentless. So I think the whole group, you know, collectively has grabbed it, and just watching it really stuck out. So I think that's where it came from. Not premeditated, not anything like that. I think it was just eye-opening here, especially the last, you know, 13 games, where when I'm watching video the next morning, that's what I said, the word always pops out. So it was just a good reminder that when you lose your game, you got to be relentless right away to get it back.
That was Predators head coach Andrew Brunette earlier on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace here on Thursday afternoon. Welcome back in the Preds Insiders right here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Closing things out as the Predators are coming off of a win on Wednesday evening against the Winnipeg Jets. And coming up next, they will be taking on the Seattle Kraken. And there are plenty of teams like them coming up on the Predators' schedule because the Preds themselves are holding on to the first wild card spot currently, and they're trying to keep it. And that clip right there tells me, at least, that's their mentality moving forward. And it's not going to be easy by any means whatsoever. So I'm very interested to see how the Predators can approach the rest of their season now that the fact of the matter is, can they be the team that outworks the other one each and every single night? And they really did flip a switch back in early February for sure. And so now when they come back to Nashville, they'll be taking on the Sharks. Then they'll go and take on the Florida Panthers, who, by the way, the Florida Panthers, they are no small team. They are the NHL's best team, in my opinion, and also stat-wise as well. They are killing the game right now. They have been doing a really, really good job. I believe as of the time that I am talking to you over our airwaves, the Florida Panthers have 94 points. They are 2 points ahead of the Vancouver Canucks for the NHL's lead. So I think we will see the President's Cup be awarded to either the Panthers or the Vancouvers. My money is probably on the Florida Panthers going the rest of the way. So will that curse carry on if they win the President's Trophy? No idea, but I don't really care about curses or superstitions all that much, especially just covering the NHL. I know it's an unwritten rule. I could care less personally. The Predators will then take on the Red Wings next Saturday evening. And so that will be a fun one. The Predators played them back on my birthday, back in December on the 29th. So that should be a fun one. I know that Gus Nyquist really wanted that last one in Detroit. I remember seeing a clip of him getting really frustrated when he was on the ice toward the end of that one. And then the Predators will welcome the Vegas Golden Knights on the 26th before this month ends. And so that will be must-see hockey. Will feel like a Saturday night probably when they are here later this month. And so then you have the Arizona Coyotes coming to town to take on the Nashville Predators. That will be not a trap game, but definitely a test to see if the Predators are what they are. And then they'll play against the Colorado Avalanche one more time to close out this month on the road. And then going into April, man, they've got a tough test in front of them. They will start things off against the Boston Bruins, then the St. Louis Blues, and then they'll take on two teams on a back-to-back stretch that are really trying to push for postseason play. And that would be the New York Islanders and the New Jersey Devils. And so I think one team or the other, by that point, we will know if they will make the postseason or not. One of them, I don't think, will be mathematically eliminated by that point, but I believe we will see two really tough games, especially back-to-back. So Kevin Lankinen and UC Saros will have to lean on each other for that one. And then the Winnipeg Jets will come to town on April 9th, the second-to-last home game. And then the Predators will see Connor Bedard and the Chicago Blackhawks one more time this season up in the United Center on April 12th. And so I'm very curious to see how Connor Bedard does. He had a 12-point night the other day. He had a 5-point night the other day. So very, very intrigued with how the Predators continue to handle him and keep him off of the score sheet. And then the Predators' final home game of the regular season will come against the Columbus Blue Jackets, whom the Predators just defeated 2-1 last weekend. And then they will close things out in Pittsburgh. Hopefully by that point in Nashville, we will know if we will have postseason contention in play or not. In that final week, one of those big games, either on the road or at home, will indicate if the Predators will make the playoffs and hopefully start a new streak. If you are that organization, thinking to yourself, the postseason matters and the SEC matters as well. They're at Bridgestone Arena this week. While the Predators are on the road, they'll be at Seattle on Saturday. So be sure to tune in for that game. Max Herz will have your pre and post game coverage, while Pete and Hal Gill, the intrepid reporter for the Nashville Predators, the analyst alongside Pete Weber for Road Games, will have you covered on the call on Saturday night right here on these airwaves. And so looking forward to seeing how the rest of this one shakes out. Robbie Stanley will rejoin us on the next Preds Insiders, hopefully at least. Maybe he won't be late or be non-present because he was not around for our show the other day, but that's okay. Sorry, taking another shot at you and Joe. Robbie, come on now. We can't be late. So until next time, we'll have to see how the Predators do. Will they have a postseason spot by that point? I guess we'll have to see and find out. So stay tuned for all the coverage right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save-